section 3, number 2, 24142, Regarding Carla Valentine, DVM. Mr. Stoll's here, but we're going to get Dr. Valentine on the phone.
Thank you. Okay.
Dr. Valentine, it's Victoria at the Veterinary Board. I've got you on speakerphone. The board's
Thank
ready.
Thank you, Victoria.
Yeah, thanks. The board is ready to speak with you. Your attorney, Mr. Stoll, is present. So if you'll just remain quiet until you hear the board chairman address you. Okay, thank you.
Okay. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Carla Valentine in case number 24142. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. Valentine, please introduce yourself and your attorney can do that for himself. You can just go ahead and introduce yourself, Dr. Valentine.
Oh, great. My name is Dr. Carla Hope Valentine. I do go by Hope, but you can refer to me as Dr. Valentine.
David Stoll, attorney and legal counsel for Dr. Valentine.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Valentine, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. So, Ms. Solomon, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes, ma'am, Chair. At the May 15th, 2024 Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened an investigation after reviewing premises inspections conducted at Sedona Animal Clinic. Respondent was the responsible veterinarian for the premises. Additionally, the board expressed concerns that respondent was not an Arizona resident, which is required to hold a premises license in Arizona. Respondent is no longer with the responsible veterinarian for the premises, and the premises are closed.
Thank you. All right, Dr. Valentine, at this time, I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so Dr. Valentine, and Mr. Stoll, we'd like to give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Dr. Valentine has a statement she wishes to
okay.
give.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to respond to that summary. I really appreciate everything that you all do. First, I want you to know that when I relocated to Arizona and purchased the Sedona Animal Clinic on November 2nd, I thought my new home and practice would be the fulfillment of a dream. I had met with Dr. Kovalik for a year prior to that day and was heartily looking forward to being there forever. But unfortunately, within months of opening the practice, it turned into a professional and financial nightmare. In retrospect, I truly wish I'd never bought the practice without further discussions and things. I had no idea what it would take to acquire a practice, and I quickly learned. In any event, as you've heard, I'm no longer the responsible veterinarian for the practice, which has been closed since May 8th, 2024. Furthermore, the building has been sold, which started June 1st, that process, I think before that. And to my knowledge, all contents related to the former veterinary practice have been removed. With regard to the controlled substances, the owner of the building and the land, which is Dr. Kovalik's wife, she had them turned over to the DEA when she took over the building and the land on June 1st. Finally, since the practice has been closed, I have devoted an extraordinary amount of time making sure that any and all requests for medical records have been fulfilled, and worked to have multiple systems that would make that process as smooth as possible. I maintain access to all electronic medical records in VetSpire, and I left instructions for how clients could request medical records for the pet, and to my knowledge, by sending out newsletters, I have timely responded to every request for records that have been made since the practice closed. I'm now available to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Soule, do you have anything?
No.
Okay. All right, I'd like to now ask the board members if they have any questions for Dr. Valentine.
Yes, Madam Chair. I'd like to ask Dr. Valentine, you said you contacted or provided your contact information to all of your clients. When was that done and how?
We sent out a newsletter inside of our new practice software, VetSpire. They had Covetrus Pulse when I purchased the practice. So I sent out a newsletter in VetSpire and let everybody know, and got lots of responses and no indication that no one, you know, got it. We also had the ability in their chart to note if they needed text messages over, if that was their primary communication. So we had the ability to also send out text messages letting people know about the closure of the practice, that was permanent, and that they could seek their medical records this way.
Okay, and again, when was that done? You said it was a newsletter.
Oh, sorry. Yes, we started that process through Gmail first, right around the 15th of May, and then we had changed our phone messaging system, and then there was some issues with the phone. So May 15th, every 2 weeks, I made an attempt to reach people to make sure that they knew how to get their medical records since May 8th.
And there was a phone message, you said, that was at the existing number?
I instituted an electronic phone system that wasn't related to a landline. And we had the number that I bought the practice with ported into that phone system.
Good.
And it's about $300 a month. And so I maintained that phone system to be able to, and had an automated reply. So if anyone went to the website, but the website got shut down at some point in June by the Kovalik, but there was multiple ways that we went about it, through text messaging, through the phone. If people tried to leave a voicemail, they would get an auto text if they could receive the text, and then through the email.
When did you move out of state?
I resided in Arizona until May 8th when I returned home for personal matters with my mother. And I had every intention of putting my house up for sale, which was in the process the whole time, and moving to Arizona, you know, like bringing my belongings, all of it, you know. But with the way things went with with Ms. Harris taking the place of practice, then there was no place to practice. You know, there was no place to practice. So at that point, I ceased any effort to officially move there. Like, not officially move, because I live there, right? I moved there. But I ceased any effort to make Arizona my permanent home after Ms. Harris took the building over.
Dr. Valentine, this is Nikki Frost. I have a question regarding what was your residence while you were here in Arizona? What was your
address?
Yeah.
I bought the practice, and it has included in it living quarters. And my intention was to live, I lived in the living quarters associated with the practice.
Did you have this is Jane Solomon. Did you have an Arizona driver's license?
I do not.
Do you have any other proof of, while you purchased the residence, do you have any other proof of residency in Arizona? You purchased that practice and it had a residence attached to it?
Yes.
Same address as the practice or different?
Same address.
So the practice address and your home address were the same?
Yes.
Dr. Valentine, this is Nikki Frost. I have a question on the efforts for clients' medical records. So what is the continuing access to medical records look like? Can they still, since the website isn't up, they can still call the phone number? And at that point, what do they hear as far as getting records? Again, because many years after, people may need to request records, not realizing, you know, that the practice has been closed. So if next year somebody is calling, is it to that phone number, and then what do they hear and how do they get records?
Right. I reached out to each one of the local practices, but I certainly understand there's other practices that probably want those records that are not in the local area. So we do monitor there's been some technical challenges because the email was technically associated with the practice, was technically a business asset that Ms. Harris and the Kovalics, I call them the Kovalics, even though they had separate last names, they seized those assets. So it made it challenging to continue to access those things that everybody in the community was used to. And we were never able to access the Google Business account, nor were we able to access the business Facebook account since I bought the practice. So it made some difficult logistical and challenges in getting the word out and getting it out in a way that was extraordinarily public. So the phone is active, but mainly it's SedonaAnimalClinic@gmail.com and DrHopeForPets@gmail. Is two ways included in the newsletter to all clients that they can go to those emails and they can request and they can tell their medical professionals where to go to get those records as well.
Okay, so the phone number they call and they're given those email addresses to request records?
Right. And if they call, I just want to reiterate, if they call, the phone system makes the transcript of the call. Like, so they leave a voicemail and it immediately transcribes it to a text thread. They then get a text response that says, contact these emails. For medical practices, we see the transcript and we then treat it like an email that we've received and we send the records accordingly. Myself or my executive assistant send out about three a day still. So that's our system. We're looking for other ways to, like, with Google, like, change something with Google Business so that we're able to put the SedonaAnimalClinic@gmail.com as a way to connect and update, you know, and just make sure that that is out to the public. So we are currently working on that.
How long do you plan on maintaining that phone and email system?
Well, I take my responsibility to maintain these records for 3 years very seriously.
Yes.
So our intention is to maintain it for the length of time that gives people plenty of time to, you know, reestablish other places, get their medical records settled, and that's very important to me.
So are you planning on maintaining that for 3 years?
Yes.
I think that was pretty much all of my questions. Do any of the board members have? Oh, I do have one more. When did you notify the board's office of the change in your residential address?
The change in my residential address when I applied for a premise license? Can you clarify your question?
Yes, yes. When you moved back to the state you're residing in now, which is what?
Virginia.
Virginia.
I live in Virginia.
When you left Arizona and moved back to Virginia, did you advise the board office of your change of residential address?
I did not. We were communicating by email regarding these issues, and I made it known that I was in Virginia taking care of my mother. So it was undetermined if, so at first it was a temporary closure and it was undetermined what would happen with the practice. So I wasn't, when I'm now clear that literally last week I moved in within Virginia Beach, and I'm now clear that I'm living here, and was planning to update the board today about my change of address. But with the business issues, my lawyer requested that I continue to maintain some level of legal quote-unquote presence. I'm making air quotes, you can't
see.
Doctor,
this is David Stoll. You're not.
Thank you.
Don't disclose any legal advice that or communications between the two of us.
Sure.
Or I don't even know if that was me, to be honest. I don't even have an attorney.
That's my small business attorney.
I didn't remember telling you that, but whatever attorney may have told you something, don't talk about it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess the question is if her Arizona residence, so Dr.
Yes,
Valentine, if your Arizona residence was the practice, which was shuttered on May 8th, what was your residence in the meantime between May 9th and now, or just establishing?
I was mainly, I mainly took time off and I took care of my mom. And she's in Warrington, North Carolina. And then I returned to Virginia Beach to finish getting my home ready to sell. Like I said, this has been personally and financially very devastating. And I was sorting out the details and figuring out what's next for me during that time.
Yes, Dr. Valentine, this is Jane Solomon again. You mentioned in your response that you do not intend to return to Arizona to practice. Is that correct?
I don't have any plans for the immediate future, but I do plan to renew my license at the end of the year.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
I have no further questions.
Does any other board members have any questions? Okay. Dr. Valentine, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you would like to ask?
Her legal counsel does.
Okay.
As Dr. Valentine explained to you, her purchase and then quick loss of this practice has been a personal and financial nightmare for her. Honestly, I think that she has suffered enough in that regard, and that it would only add insult to injury for this board to sanction her license. She is currently not actively practicing in Arizona and has no intentions to do so. With regard to the residency issue, there's no evidence that Dr. Valentine committed fraud or intentionally set out to deceive the board at the time she submitted her application. She had a residence in Arizona. There were living quarters adjacent to the practice as she testified, so we don't believe that there is a violation of that statute. And unfortunately, the term resident is not defined under the Veterinary Practice Act, and it's open to interpretation and confusion, as we found out as recently as an hour ago in the case before. But we don't feel that she violated that statute or any other statute or regulation of the Practice Act, and we therefore ask that the complaint be dismissed with no violation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, one other thing before I forget. I think it's important to point out, and you probably came to the same conclusion, she didn't just walk away from the practice when it was basically taken away from her. She was locked out of the premises by the landlord, and she has continued to maintain at an extraordinary level efforts to make sure that the public in Arizona is that their interests are fulfilled and that they're getting medical records. I mean, she described to you the efforts that she's undertaken and continues to undertake on a daily basis. She gets two or three records requests and they are filled immediately. So I don't think that should be overlooked. Thank you.
Okay.
Just a point of clarification, Madam Chair. As discussed in our previous case that had similar residency issues, Victoria, I believe you said that an Arizona driver's license was what was accepted as proof of residency?
So, Madam Chair, Ms. Holloman, so that's in relation to the universal recognition license specifically.
Okay.
All right. Well, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
Can I, my legal, can I say one more thing? Possible.
But it's not wrong. Can we, legal counsel, can we still comment?
It's within your discretion.
Sure. Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Valentine.
Thank you very much for your grace. I really believe in everything that you all are doing and your important role. My entire effort is to contribute to the health and wellness of pets and pet parents in Arizona. I loved the community that I practiced in. I visited it multiple times, met with Dr. Kovalik multiple times. 2 days after I acquired the practice, it was like the rug was pulled out. He was going to stay until February. He was going to stay as the veterinarian in charge. The staff members were supposed to be prepped and ready, and he was going to transfer the goodwill of what he had built over to me. And that's why I did an owner finance loan. And everything changed the day I took the practice over. And that kind of rushed, surprised environment to me was untenable to practicing at a level of excellence, much less, you know, like above standard and a level of excellence. I also had a business partner that was meant to be the manager and assist with issues. The December 19th, you know, inspection, I never got a copy of it. It was like my manager was a black hole. And so, and my business partner that had 30% of the business. So I just want to tell you all that I learned a tremendous amount. And I take full responsibility for not knowing how to set up systems where I could be absolutely 1,000% responsible for everything in my practice. And I completely agree with and understand the need for the veterinarian in charge to be literally on call and close by at every moment. I really do. And you will never have this problem with me again, and you'll never have another problem with me again, as a matter of my word.
Okay, thank you. All right, so now we conclude this portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. We'll now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
Yes, Madam Chair, I am very torn on this one because there, you know, there are little things or, you know, more administrative things that at this point I question their importance. But it appears that she did not notify the board in a timely fashion of her change of address. Is that correct, Victoria?
Yeah.
That is basically, that is ARS 3222312 as it relates to R311107B. The residency requirement, the Arizona driver's license, only applies to universal licensing requirements and doesn't apply here. So the only, that is the only, and the premise is closed. So the only violation I would find is the one I mentioned, ARS 3222312 as it relates to R311107B for failure to notify within the board within 20 days of a residential change of address for the responsible veterinarian, and that's for the veterinarian, that's it.
Might the board consider a letter of concern under the circumstances of this case?
What about dismissing and issuing a letter of concern addressing those issues?
Yeah, because I mean, I think there were multiple circumstances as to why that address may not have been changed, and I don't know that she was within control of all of them, plus she might not have even known the outcome until more recently that wasn't going to ultimately be her address. So, like, I just think there's a lot behind it that we may not know. And
I'd like to see if board staff has any comments right now, though, or no.
Well, I mean, yes, it didn't happen, right? So
the issue is, did she live in Arizona during the time she held the license? That's the issue.
It's, yeah, so it's a premise license.
That's the question before you. She may or may not have said conflicting things today related to that statement that you may want to discuss.
I understood it as though, and maybe I got this wrong, but that she lived here until May 8th when she went back to care for her mother. And it was shortly after that that the clinic was locked and shuttered, then a week or something like that. And that then it became probably this legal case of what was going on with the clinic and what was going to happen there. And so she, as technically, could have still had that as an address because it was still her clinic until legally things have gotten worked out, which is why I said a lot of this isn't within our
control.
But
the question is, did we establish residency for the premise license? We're still in that boat, aren't we?
Well, if you're talking about the premise license, she lived at the clinic and was here 100% of the time.
Is that establishing residency or not? Or is that just
living? The same address. The residents have the same address as the clinic.
But is that establishing residency or is that just living at an address? I don't think that's establishing residency. Yeah, but is that established? We can have,
and I think
we had this discussion already. Yeah. You can have homes in multiple estates. Right. Doesn't mean you're a resident of the state. So that's the question. Okay. Did she establish residency here? Because for that premise license, you need to establish residency.
I understand that, but I think it's unclear. At least it would be to me in the statutes what that actually means. And when I'm living in a place 100% of the time, I would say that's where I'm a resident of that. It doesn't mean I have IRS residency status, but I am a resident of that.
If you're not establishing residency in a state, you're not a resident in that state. If I go and visit California and I'm there for 6 months, I'm not a resident of that state until I establish residency in that state.
But
That's the crux of the matter is, did we establish residency or not? And that's a formal process to abandon your previous state and come to the new state. That's a formal process. That's not just living somewhere.
I agree, but I'm just saying I don't necessarily know that that is super clear.
Right. So there was an issue, though, wasn't there, with the premise didn't really have a residence attached to it?
So it's my understanding it was a very small place. So if she was in Virginia and the place got shut down and she's never come back, did she leave all her belongings in Sedona?
Right.
If she lived there. So the other question is, how often was she going back to Virginia? Because we had other information that she was going back and forth most of the time.
Right, maintaining residency somewhere else and then working at the practice.
Premise license. If you have residency in another state, you're not a resident of Arizona, so you cannot have a premise license. This is the same thing we dealt with before. That's the crux of the matter, is did we actually establish residency in Arizona? And I'm not seeing that.
So when she,
I'm seeing we lived here and we bought a business, but that's different than residency.
When she applied for the premise license as the responsible vet, did she provide documentation of being a resident of Arizona enough for us to approve that license?
You're talking about home address?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I don't think you have to establish.
At that time, I believe, and I could be mistaken, but I believe that she put the address of the clinic as her home address, and she had told us that that was her, if I remember correctly, her interim intention to live there until she moved elsewhere within Arizona.
So, I mean, to me, it seems kind of hard, because if I'm understanding this correctly, but we're basically approving premise licenses without having proof of residency.
That's why you have to swear that you're filling it out properly. It's a state document. It's, if you lie on it, that's not a good thing.
We look to see is if what their home address is that they told us. Mm-hmm. But no, we're not asking for proof, because we don't have a statute or rule that.
It just says you have to be a resident. That. So after the fact,
but it doesn't define.
You have to be a resident.
Proof.
No, it doesn't define proof, but after the fact, if you're not a resident and you said you were, that's where the problems come in.
Correct.
Just like most laws, yes. It's only after the fact that it becomes a problem.
I mean, I think, to me, maybe there's a violation of the residency piece, but it's not clear that the definition of the word resident and legal residency, if you argued that in court, I would imagine that could be a very different thing. And it's not something that I think the board should really be actioning on if we don't even check to see, or even say, are you a legal resident of Arizona?
We can't bring a previous case. That was the whole last case. I mean, we have to establish residency at this point. Now, like I said, beforehand, we just trust that you said you're a resident and everything's right. But once you see there's a problem, now you have to verify, were you a resident at that time? And I'm not seeing any proof that we were a resident at that time. And you have to be a resident to get a practice license. Not to get a practice, or not to get a license individually. You can have that in any state you want. But to get a premise license, you have to be a resident in Arizona. And I'm not seeing that residency was established. I'd have to see proof of that, which we've talked about before, be taxes, driver's license, that kind of thing.
And I guess I would just say being a resident of and establishing residency are two different things.
Yeah, the problem is the law.
Yeah.
The statute is the problem. Mm-hmm. And it seems that we are now talking about these cases as if we're interpreting the law.
Right.
And what I wish we could do is refuse to hear any of these cases until this law is fixed, but we can't do that. So we have to use our discretion. So getting into the weeds about residency and legal residency and that kind of thing, I don't think that's our responsibility. I think we do the best we can and say there's a big cloud out there that we're not able to interpret through. So we do the best we can, and I think that's what you're saying, right?
Well, maybe we need to clarify on the application. I have not looked at it in a while. Maybe it is already this way, that what being a resident means and how we judge that, or what we're asking, like if it's, you're at, because for me, if I were reading that, I would assume that it means you're a resident of the state so that you are there, so that you can take action, so that you're visible to the clinic, so you're overseeing it, right? That's the intent, the spirit of the law is so that you're there. I wouldn't necessarily read it as establishing residency from an IRS standpoint.
I think by definition, resident is a resident of the state, not just existing in the state.
I mean,
residency is established legally. So I think when it says you need to be a resident of the state, I think that's a legal residency,
that's not
just I'm there.
That's not for me to do.
That's our statutes. We're charged with interpreting these statutes. Now, it can be advanced to a court of law after that.
Does the statute say legal residency? Is that the way it's or just residency?
No, it just says resident of Arizona.
Well, it just says,
there you go.
If you're talking about 322272B2,
It says the responsibility, or the responsible veterinarian shall be a veterinarian who's licensed in the state and who resides in the state.
Resides in the state. She lived here.
It's not legal residency.
Not a legal residency.
Yeah, just reside.
So I'm totally like not in agreement with where we're going with this case. I feel like I would make a motion on the case of 24-142 to dismiss with no violations. I feel like we could send a letter of concern for the failure to change the address and inform the board of that. But there was even communication with the board that she wasn't here. Like there was communication going on during this time, according to her. And so I would issue it as a letter of concern and move on. I don't feel like we're getting anywhere. And residing, she did reside here, in my opinion.
So if you are, the motion was to dismiss, but yet to issue or offer a letter of concern. Yeah. Typically, if you're dismissing, then there's no basis to issue or offer a letter of concern. Mm-hmm. So if you...
We have to dismiss before we can issue a letter.
I still don't understand. So someone can stay here for a week or weekend, file an application and say I resided in Arizona at the time. I don't think that's right.
The
residency has a legal definition.
It doesn't say residency. It says you reside in.
Yeah. Is that just staying for a day?
Yeah. Could be.
That's the way it sounds.
Absolutely.
So then, I'm pulling in the last case. What was the problem there? Like I said, this is still a residency issue.
So we have a motion. You have a second.
I don't think we're talking about the last case
now.
We're
in discussion, but
I feel I already made a motion, so.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. So you have a motion and a second to dismiss and issue a letter of concern.
I'll withdraw mine then, since there's another motion on the floor.
All right.
Did I miss your motion?
Sorry,
yes, you made a motion.
No, wow.
Yeah, I made
there
a motion
was no second.
To find a violation due to failure to notify our office within 20 days.
So you're withdrawing that?
I'm withdrawing that.
Sorry, we stepped
over. Sorry, we got sidetracked, Jane.
It's not unusual.
Okay. So, roll call.
Oh, Ms. Frost.
Nay.
Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Vector 8?
Nay.
3-2. It passes.
Okay. So we don't have to do anything else on that, please. The board has voted to find no violation. This concludes this matter. Dr. Valentine, you and your attorney will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. If you have any questions, please contact the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview.